Welcome to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast aims to bring the sermon from our Sunday morning service to you each and every week. Whether you're a longtime follower of Christ or just beginning to explore who Jesus is, we invite you to join us as we dive deep into God's Word and what He has to teach us today. So listen in as we jump into what God has in store.
Well, good morning, Rolling Hills Church family. It's so great to be together today. Welcome, everybody, here at our Franklin campus. Welcome to our online campus. So grateful we could come and worship our great God and dive into His Word together as the body of Christ. And welcome back to our series. We're in this great series called Be Holy. And it's a powerful series for all of us as God's called us to be holy, right? We live in a different culture, different time. We're in the world, but not of the world. But as Christ followers, our lives should look different. So last week we started this series, we kind of jumped right out of the gate, and we kind of hit a big one, right? Sexual immorality. And we talked about that. That's a sin in our culture, and everybody's just kind of doing that thing out there. But yet God calls us to be different. God calls us to trust Him. God calls us to give our lives over to Him. And what we're seeing in this series is that there's things that are the seven deadly sins, like, you know, Proverbs chapter 6, but there's also sins that are accepted in culture. And just because they're accepted doesn't make them right. As a Christ follower, we die to self and we live for Christ. And so now we have to come back and go, am I living for the world or am I living for Jesus? And so we see that in that area. And today we're talking about this area called worry. Worry. And you may be thinking, is worry a sin? I mean, really? Because everybody does it, right? I mean, everybody's stressed out. Everybody's worried. It's just kind of the way culture is. It's the way life is. And then you look at our lives and we go, well, should that be? What does Jesus have to say to us today? Now, as Christ followers, we have the same struggles that many people around us do, right? I mean, we look at the news and we just start scrolling through the news and we're like, getting a little worried, getting a little anxious right now. You know, getting a little stressed out because there's so many things happening out there. I mean, you've got wars, you know, you've got recessions, you know, you've got things that are happening out there in the culture that the news is going to promote. If it bleeds, it leads, right, in media. And so it's like everything is fear-based. And then we add on that, now we have to worry about this, cicadas. Cicadas are coming, guys. I don't know if you know that, but it's like all I hear about today, you know, and I don't know. It's like, I mean, I know they come every 6 years or 14 years, and somehow civilization has survived, but these that are coming are going to carry us away. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's just like one thing after the next. It's like, oh, cicadas. Yeah, I wasn't worried about that before. Now I need to be worried about cicadas. It's just everything is out there is just coming and warring against us, and we worry. We get stressed, right? And then we get things on our phone, right? We have Life 360, so we can track wherever our kids are. So, you know, like, we know where they are all the time. I know where they are right now, and I'm glad they're at church. Way to go. Good job, you know? But we look at this. Now, you remember when you grew up, you didn't have this, right? And somehow you would go, and you would say to your parents, hey, I'm going to go to the neighbors and play, and then you would just take off. You'd be gone like 4 or 5 hours, and your parents weren't, like, stressed out or worried or afraid. Now we're like, they have a text. It's been 7 minutes. Where are they? You know, like, what's going on? And it just creates this angst in our lives, and we live with this tension. We live with this fear, and yet God says, I want you to be different. Holy means to be set apart. It means to look different. And does our life look different than the world? Or in this area of worry, are we just like everybody else? Are we stressed out all the time? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And it's amazing to me how Jesus tackles this topic head on. Jesus like lays it out there and goes, let me just tell you, as a Christ follower, here's what I want to say. Jesus says, do not worry. That's good news coming from Him. So if you have a Bible with you today, I invite you up with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. New Testament, right? First book, New Testament. Love for you to kind of go there. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be at verse 25. And it's right in the middle of the greatest sermon ever preached. Okay, how cool is that, right? Jesus preaches this sermon, Matthew 5 through 7, called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's powerful. And He's talking to His disciples, how do you live as a follower of Jesus in the world? And so He's kind of laying that out there. And He comes to verse 25 and He says, therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you have to say, what's it therefore? Okay, so you don't want to take scripture out of context. So if you look at the context of what Jesus is teaching right here, He talked about just before that treasures in heaven. He says, don't store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but rather store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so what he's saying is like, hey, if your treasure's just in this world, you're going to be stressed. Right? I mean, things can get stolen. There can be fires. You got to get insurance. There's always things if this is where your treasure. But your treasure's in heaven. Whoa, that's a whole new ballgame. Right? And so he says right before this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. You'll despise the one and be devoted to the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, money, that right there word is mammon, right? It's culture. It's the things of this world. But we have to make a decision. And so he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, we worry about what we wear, right? Maybe for you today, you stood in front of the closet. You're like, oh, shall I wear this? Shall I wear that? Da-da-da-da. Yeah, we worry, right? You got to have a fit check. You got to see how it's going, right? Maybe the smell test. It's good. I can wear it again. But you worry. Like, how am I going to be perceived? What are people going to think? Like, about my outfit. But he says, don't worry about it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You ever seen a bird like flying around stressed out, like just going in circles like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to eat. You don't know. They're just kind of floating around, right? They're just living life. They're just doing great. And they just get taken care of. And he goes, are you not much more valuable than they? And then verse 27, this is so powerful. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? right? It's like, really, how productive is it? I mean, you spend all this time, you have all those sleepless nights, you sit there, you're stressed out all the time. He goes, well, what are you doing? What are you accomplishing? Are you adding anything to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow? They did not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. Solomon, the wealthiest man that ever lived, right? Probably stood in front of his closet, had 900 robes. Like, what am I going to pick, But he's like, look at this guy. But not even him is dressed like the flowers of the field. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then this little kind of, you have little faith. It's like, where's your faith? Where's your trust? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Ooh. He's like, no, you're looking like the world. You're acting like the world. You're thinking like the world, right? Pagan, somebody who doesn't believe in God. They run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then verse 33, I don't know if you underline your Bible, great verse to underline right there, right? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He's like, you put God first, you trust him, you fall in love with him, you seek him, and he's going to take care of everything else. I mean, do you have enough food to eat? Do you have enough clothes to wear? God always comes through. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many times have we been so stressed out about what's going to happen tomorrow that we're not present today? How many times have we worried so much that we're like, and we're not even like emotionally present, spiritually present today? He's like, come on, do not worry. And you're like, is that possible? I mean, can't I live that kind of life? And Jesus says, yeah, it is. Trust me, follow me, listen to me. So here's some things I wanted you to get today. If you want to write down some notes, if you have a worship guide, or if you've got your phone, if you want to pull up the Church Center app, the Rolling Hills app, there's a place to kind of fill in some blanks. But I think this is a big one for all of us, right? Every one of us worries about something. And at different stages of our life, different times in our life, worry comes in. Now here's the thing that I want you to see. Number one is this. Worry is the check engine light of your life. Worry is the check engine light of your life. You know, when you're driving along and the check engine light comes on, you're like, oh, right. But what it's saying is something's off. Sometimes it's a big thing, other times it's a little thing. You're like, oh, good, I like the little things, right? Because they don't cost as much. But anytime that light comes on, it indicates there's a problem. There's an issue. So Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So then when the worry starts to flare up in you, you go, hold on, something's off. Something's not right. And you have to really check yourself, right? There's that check engine light that's coming on in your heart and life. Now, there's a difference between worry and concern. This is important. There's a difference between worry and concern, right? I mean, you come home, you get out of the car, and there's a snake, you ought to be concerned, okay? you don't know if it's poisonous or not, and you probably ought to run. I mean, this is the thing. Sometimes you just go, okay, there's a concern. The way God created us, praise God, he gave us this little adrenaline shot, right? So you've got a big paper coming up at school. You ought to have a little concern. You have a little, on edge, right? You got a big presentation at work. You got a big thing coming up. You're kind of on edge. You're kind of ready to go. You're like, okay, we're going to do this, right? And that's healthy. You want to achieve. You want to be your best. You want to kind of be all in on things. But if you just run at that adrenaline high for too long, right, you get stressed. It turns into stress. It turns into worry. So you understand there's a difference. There's healthy and there's unhealthy. There's productive and there's unproductive. And so as you look at your life, you go, okay, wait a minute. There's sometimes I'm going to be amped up. And then there's other times, man, I just took this thing way too far. See, prolonged worry is not healthy. Prolonged worry is not healthy. Now, everybody's going to tell you that, right? Your doctor will tell you that. Your doctor will tell you if you live with too much stress in your life, it's going to impact you physically. I mean, you're going to have a heart condition. You're going to have high blood pressure. You know, you're going to be prone to panic attacks. You're going to be prone to stroke. I mean, all of these things in your life. I mean, God created you. Do you think he knows? Right? So he's like, hey, guys, this is not the way you're supposed to live. It impacts you. It impacts you physically. It also impacts you spiritually. Right? All of a sudden, you stop trusting God and you're trusting in yourself. And how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do about this? It impacts you emotionally. Right? When you're not present, you're so stressed out. And you know, your kids are trying to talk to you, your family's trying to talk to you, your friends are like, you're not even in the ballpark. You have no clue what they're talking about, right? Because you are so worried and stressed out. It's important in every area of our lives. How do we deal with this? So here's the thing. Recognize God can bring healing in your life in this area of worry. Some of you go, well, I'm just a worrier. Right? I mean, it's just the way I am. My grandmother was a worrier. My mom's a worrier. I'm a worrier. I'm just a worrier. Like, okay, do you want to live like that, though? You know, like, do you want to take that with you? Or do you want to say, okay, that's been my past. I want to be different going forward, right? Or maybe you're always worried about money. It's just like, you know, my dad was stressed out about money. I'm stressed out about money. I'm like, okay, I get it. Okay, but do you want to pass that on to your kids? Do you want them to live stressed out all the time and worried all the time? You're like, no. So how can I recognize that God can bring healing in my life? Well, he does it through his word, right? If I start spending more time in the word, if I seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then God's going to take care of these things. So I got to recognize that God can bring healing in my life as I dive more into his word. God brings healing in church and community. I got brothers and sisters who will pray for me, who will encourage me, who will help me out. God also can bring healing through counseling, right? We have a staff counselor, Kathy Kuhn, who's our staff counselor, and you can make an appointment, and it's great. The Refuge Center, incredible. Right here, 70 therapists, right in our community. Amy Alexander, who's the executive director, goes to our church. And so many people that have been like, this has been my life, and I don't want to live like this. Great. Get help. It's also important to distinguish between medical anxiety and depression and worry. And sometimes, right, you start to go down the depression route in your life. You need to go to a doctor. You need to get help. There's medicine. God can heal through medicine. It's okay to go there. But that's important. And the problem is what happens is we go, well, I'm just going to stay here in my worry. It's how I've always been. It's how I am today. The world's falling apart. Everybody's, you know, it's just going all to pieces. And my life's crumbling. Instead of doing something about that. Instead of going, okay, I'm going to dive into God's word. I'm going to get in community. I'm going to get help with counseling, or I'm going to talk to a doctor. Taking those steps is the first step to healing. Being involved and saying, I need help in this area. And it's so important. That's why I'm so glad we're diving into it today. Because here's the problem. Satan, our enemy, distorts the good things of God. Satan hates God. You remember this from last week, right? Satan hates God. But he can't get to God because God's too powerful. So what does he do? He goes after God's kids, right? He goes after us. Misery loves company. So he's like, I'm going to take you down. That's what Satan loves to do. And he loves to distort. Last week we saw God created sex, and God created sex for marriage and intimacy, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But Satan's like, oh yeah, here, let's just take it outside of that and watch what'll happen. It's like fire, right? When fire used in the right context, warmth and light, it's great. Outside of that, fire brings destruction. And boy, do we see that. Even this week, you just watch sexual immorality. How many people and families it wrecks, and you're like, oh, it's heartbreaking. And Satan's like, yeah, I'm going to rejoice over that. You're like, no, but he does that with worry. Here's what Jesus says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So Satan comes to steal our joy, comes to kill our relationships and destroy our life. I mean, really, we are in a spiritual battle. I mean, we all are, right? But Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is like, I want you to have a great life. I want you to enjoy life. I created you. I've blessed you. I want you to enjoy it. And you're like, well, I can't enjoy it. I'm so stressed out, right? You're like, ugh, I got this enemy that's warring against me. He's like, no, you can. Trust me in this. Do it my way. See, worry happens in our lives. But when you listen to worry instead of listening to God's promises, that's when it becomes sin. When you listen to worry instead of God's promises, that's when it becomes sin. Right? When you get to this part here where he says, for the pagans run after all these things. He's like, you're acting like a pagan. You're acting like you don't know me. You're acting like you don't have a relationship with me. You're acting like your father, your heavenly father, can't provide for you and take care of you. And that's where it steps over to be going, wait a minute, I'm just looking just like the world. I look like a pagan. That's not right. That's where it becomes sin. See, what happens instead of trusting the Lord, we self-medicate. Instead of trusting the Lord, right, we self-medicate. And how do we do that? Well, we're like, man, I just need a spa day. Yeah, if I can just go, I can get a moment's peace, right? If I can just get a moment's peace and all my stress and all my worries can be gone until I walk out an hour later and it's all right there again. You know, it's just like, oh, well, I had a little break, right? But we try to self-medicate. Or we get retail therapy. Like that's, you know, it's going to be retail therapy. It's going to help. It's going to be great. And then all of a sudden the bill comes at the end of the month. We're like, I got to pay for that, right? But, you know, we do these things to try to medicate. I'll tell you one way we do this is really with this, alcohol. And I'll just be honest with you guys. Listen, you know, it's fine to go out and have a beer with your buddies. It's fine to have, you know, a glass of wine every now and then. But, man, if that's the way that you are coping with worry and stress in your life, you better be careful. You know? Because I'll tell you, we've gotten loose with it. If you wake up in the morning, you go, man, you know what? There's just an edge, and I got to go drink. You know, I could take off that edge. Or I got this big thing coming up, and I just got to start drinking. And then throughout the day, you drink more and more and more and more and more. Well, what Satan's doing is he's winning. And he's just compounding that problem. And next thing you know, it just goes from one thing to the next. And you're like, man, I got to have it before. I got to have it during. I got to have it after. We've had a lot of guys in our church, man, who've gone through rehab, and praise God for rehab. And it's awesome. And man, they've come out the other side, and I'm so thankful and so grateful for rehab. But man, what if you don't have to go? What if you could say, listen, I don't have to self-medicate. I can trust that God's enough. I could turn it over to him. I could talk to my friends. I can get help. I can have wise counsel. I don't have to go down that route. I don't care if everybody else is doing that. I don't care if that's how they're coping. I don't have to go there. And guys, for us, I mean, there's times we just got to step up and go, listen, I want to do it the way God says, not just the way the world says. You know, it's not just us dealing with it, though, in here, right? It's not just parents and grandparents and young adults in here dealing with it. You know who else is dealing with it? Our kids. Our kids. You know, this next generation has been called the anxious generation. Isn't that sad? I mean, you talk about elementary, middle school, high school. That's what they're called, the anxious generation. And you're thinking, why in the world is this the anxious generation? We live in the wealthiest nation that has ever existed in history. I mean, this generation has more food, more clothes, more everything than anybody else of all time. And yet they're the most anxious generation. You know why? And people can go, well, they've lived through, you know, a global pandemic, and, you know, there's rumors of wars out there, and, you know, there was a recession or whatever, right? I'll just say there's other generations who've lived through that. Let's go back to the generation that lived through World War II and the Holocaust, and let's go back to the Great Depression. And that generation, what were they called? The greatest generation. So what's the difference? I'll tell you. It's this. It's right here. And this could be a huge blessing. I mean, like, you know, great. This is awesome. I get to stay connected. It's great. I can have Life 360. I can know everybody. I can do a lot of things with this, right? But this also causes more worry and more stress than anything else. If you're a parent here or a grandparent, I would just tell you this. Listen, we protect our kids physically, but are we protecting them digitally? And see what kids need today, listen, what your kids need, what my kids need. They don't need, you know, more friends, right? So many times parents, they just want to be their kid's friend. They're like, hey, yeah, I'll do whatever you want, whatever you want. You know what kids need? They need a parent. And a parent who says, hold on, wait a minute. We got to put some boundaries in here. Just because everybody else, you know, all the kids in elementary school have smartphones, I don't think you really need a smartphone in elementary school. Oh, mom, you're so old-fashioned, right? Everybody does. No. Everybody doesn't, one. Two, I don't think it's healthy for you. We can get you a flip phone, right? We can figure out some way, right? I mean, we can track you. I don't know. But, I mean, listen, we're going to be wise about this. I'll just tell you, too, if you have a kid in middle school, they don't need social media. Oh, but everybody's got it, right? I mean, like, I'm going to be left out. And, I mean, what in the world? I'm just telling you. I got three kids. I got three teenagers, you know? I mean, I know it's a battle. But I also know you can watch Netflix and The Social Dilemma and see all these tech executives who created a lot of these social media platforms saying, I'm not giving that to my kid. Well, thanks, buddy. Right, okay, you just make it where everybody else has that, and they're like, oh, no. We gotta help. You know, wait till their brain's a little bit more developed. I get in high school, I get playing sports, and I get, you know, like, okay, we need to know on Instagram and these kind of things and stuff. But at some point, as parents, we have to step in and go, listen, I wanna help you. I care about you. I love you. I have a daughter in college, and she's like, you know, I just wanna tell you, Mom, Dad, thanks for fighting the battle. And I was like, yeah, you made it hard, you know? It's like, yeah, you did, right? You fought hard, way to go, you know? But they go, no, listen, I'm healthier for it. Aren't you glad probably that you grew up, you didn't have this? Aren't you glad that you grew up and you go, oh, wow, they're having a party and I didn't get invited? Like, are you kidding me? Where's my self-worth and my value? And they have this and they have that. Guys, we've got to help. And I don't know what boundaries you put in, like when you get home and you go, okay, guys, just drop this in the basket, you know, because we're going to talk as a family. We're going to sit around the dinner table and actually have a conversation. That's going to be revolutionary, you know, right there. And I mean, you know, we want to do something. I don't know what it is for you, but at some point, you and I have got to help. And we can't just go along with what culture says and what culture does and what culture is happening because it's falling apart out there, okay? And we go, man, I want to be different. I want to be holy. We take our kids, the last 3 years, we've gone with JMI Justice Mercy International, right, on our church with our mission trip to the Amazon. And we get down there, we have like 30 people this trip right down there, and we have a bunch of teenagers there. And when you get down to the Amazon, we get on the boat, and we're going down, and like the first day, what you realize is there's no Wi-Fi. And it's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to make it, you know? It's like detox, and everybody's like shaking, and like, what am I going to do, right? And how am I going to make it? And then you realize, okay, day two. And then day two, you're starting to, you know, be with people, and you're talking, and you're doing ministry, and you're doing dental clinics and medical clinics, and you're watching kids, and you're seeing the joy that all these people have, and they don't have this, and they're like, whoa, and it's awesome. And then day three, you're talking to people on the team, you're talking with translators, you're laughing, you're playing card games, you're having the time. Day four, all these teenagers will tell you, hey, this has been the best week of my life. You go, really? Wow. Interesting. And then day five, right, you get back and you're just like, oh, man, that was incredible. That was awesome. And day six, you're right back here, right? You're like, oh, back here. And people are talking. You're like, what? No. How was it? How was the trip? Like, what? You know, and you're like, what happened? And for all of us, it's a challenge. But for all of us, we gotta be holy. We gotta put some boundaries in. We can't let Satan win here in our lives. See, worry is an opportunity to trust God. Worry is an opportunity to trust God. Okay? When worry comes along, we make a decision. Am I gonna live in that? Am I just gonna be prolonged in that? Or am I going to say, okay, God, I trust you? One of my favorite verses right here, right? Cast all your anxiety on him. All. Not just a little bit. Not just here you go, God, I'll give you a little bit. No. All your anxiety on him. And I love this part right here. Why? Because he cares for you. Isn't that awesome? Do you know you have a God who cares for you? You have a God who wants the best for you. You have a God who loves you with a never-ending love. See, there is salvation and then there's sanctification. And salvation happens in an instant. As God draws you to himself and his sovereignty and his grace, invites you into a relationship with him. Many of you accepted Christ over Easter, praise be to God, you know. And you give your life to Christ and that joy, that excitement. And then you take that next step of baptism and you just make that public. And it's amazing. But it doesn't end there. It's not like, okay, well, now I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, right? You know, forget everything else. No, it's like, then there's sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. And how did Jesus live? He wasn't stressed out. He wasn't worried. He was like, okay, God's got this, right? Even though he's facing the cross and he's fully God, that kind of helps. But, you know, he's saying, listen, I'm going to minister. I'm going to love. I'm going to be present. I'm going to take care of people. I'm trusting my Father. And as you grow spiritually, you want to see spiritual depth. As you grow spiritually, you start to trust your Father more. And you go, yeah, maybe I was worried or stressed out about that before. But you know what? God's always come through. I think he's got this. I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do that, right? But listen, I'm going to trust that God's going to bring to fruition whatever it is. See, excessive worry is essentially practical atheism. Excessive worry is essentially practical atheism. I don't believe God exists. I don't believe God can handle this one. God, this is a big one. I don't know. I don't know if you can handle this. God's like, I'm God. And I care about you. There's a story in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus is teaching all day and then he tells his disciples, he's like, hey, let's get in the boat and we're going to go the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Okay, Sea of Galilee, you know, it's about 14 miles long, 7 miles wide. And so they're going across the other side. And Jesus told them to get in the boat, by the way. Remember that part. And so they get in the boat and it says that Jesus fell asleep in the stern on a cushion. And I love that he adds in Mark chapter 4, on a cushion. Because here's the point, right? Jesus wasn't in the boat kind of like nodding off like you do in biology class. Like, you know, oh yeah, you know, trying to stay awake or those 2 a.m. feedings where you're trying to feed and you're like, no, Jesus like goes to the stern and goes, hey, I'm going to grab a cushion and I'm just going to kind of, you know, bear hug it right here, just kind of burrow in and I'm just going to go to sleep. I mean, he's just like they're sleeping away and a storm comes up, like a big storm. And the disciples are freaking out. They're like, man, we're going to die. This is like the worst. And they were fishermen too, so that's a big storm. And Jesus is just sleeping away. And finally they're like, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? It took them a while to wake Jesus up, by the way. They went through the storm for a while. Jesus has been there the whole time. But then they go, don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus like stands up and he calms the storm. And then he says, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. I've been with you the whole time. Why are you so stressed? It's okay. I got this. And they're all looking like, man, who is the one who calms the wind and the waves? Truly, he's the Son of God. So here's the thing. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. This is so important. See, most of the time when it comes to worry or stress, our thinking is about the outcome. Right? We're trying to control it. Really, that's where worry and stress comes from. We're trying to control the outcome. We think, oh, that boy, he's the one for me, right? Or she's the one for me. Or man, I want my kids to do this. I want them to get in this school. Or I want them to go to this place. And we're trying to control. Or I need more money. I got to get this deal. Because if I don't get this money, I'm not going to be able to pay this and da-da-da-da. But what if we change our thinking to go, God, you're enough. And God, you have a better plan than I do. And so, God, I want what you want from me. God, I'm your servant. Whoa, game changer. God, you see, I may think that he's the one, but he may not be. God, I really want the person you have for me. God, I may think that this job thing needs to work out, but maybe, God, you got a better plan. And so, God, I'm going to trust you in that. Do you know 95% of the things that we worry about never come to fruition? 95% of the things we worry about never come to fruition. What if we spent more time trusting God than we did worrying? What if on those sleepless nights we just go, God, I want to give this to you, and God, I want to trust you. So how do I respond to worry? How do I respond to worry? How can I be holy in this today? Four things. Number one, pray. You're like, I knew you were going to say that. You're a pastor, right? That's like, I knew that, right? But it's true, right? We spend more time worrying than we do praying. Pray. I love that Philippians 4. We meditated on it earlier during the worship set, but Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, and then these two words that get overlooked a lot of times, with thanksgiving. When you pray, right, you go, God, thank you. You have been faithful before. Do you remember times in your life when you were so stressed out, you were so worried, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and then how it worked? I mean, you're here today, right? So obviously God's been taking care of you throughout. You probably have more food and more clothes than you ever have in your life. I mean, God has provided over and over and over again. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. People are like, how can you be peaceful? How can you be joyful? Well, I got a relationship with the Lord. I mean, that's what happens, right? Well, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Second is contentment. Contentment. Psalm 23. Man, I wish I had time to unpack the whole thing right there. But it says, right, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just the Lord was or not the Lord will be. The Lord is right here, right now. I lack nothing. God, I'm going to be content. Everything I have comes from you. There's a difference between needs and wants, okay? But God, you take care of every one of my needs, right? I want to be content. Third is faith. Faith. Worry is really about faith. When you put your eyes on the problems or the circumstances, they get bigger. If we just spend our time all the time on the problems, on Apple News and everything else, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But you put your eyes on Jesus, he gets bigger. He's like, I got it. Trust me. And then the fourth is focus. Focus. Where's your focus? Are you present? Are you so stressed out you're not even present? Or you just say, man, I'm going to be focused on the Lord and I'm going to live my life for him. You know, in Daniel chapter 3 in the Old Testament, there's these three guys, and I love these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these guys, you'd think they had a lot to be stressed out about. They had a lot to worry about because they were growing up in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was overrun by the Babylonians. So Nebuchadnezzar, he comes, he conquers Jerusalem. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had this great life. I mean, they were leaders, they were nobility, they were successful. They get taken off and they go to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar's whole strategy was to brainwash people, right? I mean, other kings that had gone before, like the Assyrians, they just wiped out, they just killed people, they just take them out. And Nebuchadnezzar, his mindset was like this: bring the best of whatever nation we conquer, bring them here, and then let's just immerse them in our culture, and we'll take their ideas and their wisdom and their smartness, and we're going to use that to help flourish us. And so we'll just brainwash them. So they bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there to Babylon. He puts them in the king's service. In Daniel chapter 3, it says he builds this giant statue. And he tells everybody in the land, he goes, okay, guys, we're going to worship this statue now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to worship this. I'm going to have some music played. And when the music's played, I want everybody to bow down and worship the God of this culture. And we're just going to kind of brainwash everybody into this whole deal right here. So the music plays. And they got the harps and the lyres. The band strikes up. You know, and the music goes. And thousands of people all fall face down, worshiping this idol. Except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They just stand there. And all these people are like, well, why are they not worshiping, right? So they go and tell Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's like, I like those guys. I mean, they're really smart. They're good looking. They're sharp. You know, like, and he goes, maybe they just didn't get it. So he calls them in. He says, hey, guys, I don't know if you just didn't get the whole memo thing. We sent it out, you know, right? But listen, here's the deal. We're going to play this music. You bow down and worship this idol, right? And if you don't, we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. So the music plays. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just stand there. And Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad. Historical account. You can go read it. Daniel chapter 3. And he's livid. He's like, what is your deal? Everybody else is doing it. Just bow down and worship it. I'm like, nope. We only worship one true God. We're only worshiping our God. And our God is able to save us. And I love what they say right here. They go, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your God. We're still not going to bow down. We're not. How powerful is that? So what does he do? He heats it up 7 times so it's so hot. Flames are flying out. And the guards grab him. They take him. They throw him into the furnace. And it's so hot that it consumes the guards who throw him in. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall into this furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, it says, stands up and he looks in the furnace. And he says, I see 4 men walking around in there. 4 men walking around, talking. Who is that fourth? The pre-incarnate Jesus. Jesus. With them in the fire. They go and they pull out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love how the Bible tells us this. It says not one hair on their head was singed. And their clothes didn't even smell like fire. And Nebuchadnezzar says this. He is the one true God. See, guys, when you and I stand out and stand up, everybody in culture begins to go, wait a minute, there's something different about them. How can they have joy? How can they have peace? How can they not be stressed out in the middle of all that's going on? And you go, listen, he is the one true God. And your kids and your family and your friends and your workplace and your school, they go, there's something different about you. And you go, yeah, I've got a Heavenly Father who cares about me. And my God will deliver me. And my God will uphold me. And my God loves me. Guys, I don't know where you are today. But I know that same God that rescued them is the same God who's here today. So whatever you walked in with today, maybe you walked in with a worry. Maybe you walked in with a fear. Maybe you walked in a struggle. I want to tell you today, God is enough. And God loves you. Will you bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment? Right where you are today, would you just be honest with God? Maybe you've been so worried lately, you haven't been present. You haven't been present with your family. Maybe you've been so stressed out. And maybe today God's just going, listen, I got you. I got you. I love you. I care about you. Would you cast your anxiety on him today? Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe it's a relational concern. Maybe it's a financial concern. Would you cast it onto him? And just go, God, you're enough. God, you're enough. So, Father, thank you that you're the God of miracles. Thank you that you're the God of the everyday, the God who upholds us with your mighty right hand, the God who fills us with hope, with joy, with peace that passes understanding, the God who walks with us through fires, the God who calms the storms, that you are that same God with us today. So let us live in that truth. Let us live in that confidence. Let us be people who are holy, different, set apart for your name and your glory. And it's in the beautiful name of Jesus that we pray and give it all to you. Amen, amen, amen. Wow.
Thank you for listening to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. Be sure to share this episode with any friends and family who may benefit from it. And make sure you subscribe to be notified so you never miss a sermon. If you want to learn more about Rolling Hills, download Church Center, our Rolling Hills app, follow us on social media, or visit our website at rollinghills.church. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.